Hello guys, welcome to another beautiful episode of Leadership Podcast with me, Stephen Akintayo. And today I have somebody really special to me. And it's like two occasions. One is his 40th birthday that took place last month. And the second thing is, he's one of my, how do we call it now, blue blood mentees. Blue blood, like... I think as far back as 2014 or 2015,
yeah,
right, yeah, 2014 since when he's been with me,
yeah,
and he used to work with us, and today he runs a great business, so it's very special to me. Like I said, Maiwa Owolabi, how you doing?
I'm all right. Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome.
Yeah, and you're doing an amazing job on this project.
Yes. What do you think?
Have you ever seen me
in this doing podcast thing?
Yeah, I never saw that coming, but you see, what I've seen about your model is that you have a way of pivoting to what will solve the next phase. Yeah. So you're always there even before, like, so I didn't see it coming quick, but
yeah,
all the episodes have been amazing. I've been watch almost all the episodes. Like,
thank you.
Thank you so much.
So who is Maiwa Owolabi, for those who don't know you?
Okay. So Maiwa Owolabi is a serial entrepreneur, started my career as a banker, just to work with Intercontinental Bank before Access took over. And, but I was so much bent on the entrepreneur spirit because of my background. My father used to work with, a textile company. Yeah. My mom used to be a pure entrepreneur person, you know, from selling food. Mm-hmm. So back then I handled this canteen for 2 years. So I have a concept of cash flow. I understand how powerful that was. So working in the bank, I understand that I just went there to learn the process.
But what did you study in university?
I studied computer engineering.
And then what were you doing in the bank?
IT.
Okay.
IT. So I did more of database management for them, then IT support. So there's what is called end of day, end of month, that makes them work the next day. So I was in charge of that that unit, you know, with other people. So I was in that unit. So and from there, you know, it became reality 5 years in the bank that I need to resign. By the way, I think I wrote my resignation letter the second day I resumed.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
So it's...
How do you get a job and then you write
resignation? I wrote my resignation letter. I was going to resign August 2013.
And then you got the job,
I got the job August 8, 2008.
Exactly 5 years.
Yes, from the day I knew it was 5 years. So while I was there, I had offers to go work in several other places. But because I had a plan that I needed to understand how this space works, so I was willing to work there. And they didn't promote me 4 years, 7 months. I was like 4 months to my resignation.
They now promoted me.
I said, lie, this is like, this is a trap, like, geez. So from there, started, you know, left the bank, you know, and I was home for 1 year. To, you know, then I began to like put my thoughts together on the next phase. Then that was where I saw your flyer, you know, and from your flyer, attended the event, you know. Okay, so I think I started my company while I was rounding up, you know, and I realized that something was missing, which was sales, you know, because I've never had that sales background. Okay. I've just been more administrative, more training and all of that. So, but the sales, I realized I had so much, but I wasn't selling. And that's where I saw your flyer in Ikeja under bridge. Somebody gave me, I told my wife that that person was being an angel. And that's why I tell people that when you pray, be deliberate and be sensitive with every flyer, every action, every word you hear. Because somehow, some way, the answer is somewhere. But if you are not patient enough to listen to those moves, So for me, that flyer made a lot of sense. I attended the event, Protea. And I think he had almost 6 speakers then, or 9 speakers. And the rest is history. From there, started my company. And I'm excited right now. Last month, we just launched another subsidiary. Wow. So we now have 5 subsidiaries under my Ola.
Come on. I feel like clapping right now. That's impressive.
Yes.
So you saw that flyer. Mm-hmm. I remember it was a social media week event.
That's right.
And
it was a match event.
Yes, and it was a match. Yeah. It was a sacrifice for me.
Yeah.
What you didn't know was that we didn't have the balance to even pay for that hall.
Can you imagine?
Because we had thought that you guys would come and then we'll upsell you to mm-hmm. some products mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. people refused to pay for.
Yeah, something. A lot of people didn't pay. I remember I paid for the 1 week.
Yes, you didn't pay. So the goal was 2-day free.
Uh-huh.
Then we upsell people for the 1 week.
That's
training.
Right. That's right.
I had a partner, Daniel Chinagozin.
Daniel Chinagozin. That's where I also met Dr. Okpebawo.
So we were struggling to pay, but it was one of those sacrifices that we just do in those days. Mm-hmm. And we still do now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you came for the 1 week paid training.
Yeah.
And then after the training, you said to me you wanted to do internship.
There's more.
and there are 2 critical things that happened in that training.
Mm-hmm.
You were one,
mm-hmm.
who of course worked with us and has mm-hmm. remained an integral part of my life and mm-hmm. our company.
Mm-hmm.
The other person was mm-hmm. the man
mm-hmm.
who gave us the first land we used to start real estate.
That's right.
It was in your class.
That's right. Adeyemi.
Because he too, after that class, walked up to me and said,
"Yeah.
You know, I have over 250 acres.
That's right.
I'm struggling to sell it. That's why I came for your
training
on sales.
Yeah.
And I don't mind giving 50 acres. You
That's
sell,
right.
you can pay me. And mm-hmm. so, 2 critical things
mm-hmm.
happening from an act of goodwill.
Yes.
And these are things people don't know. You know,
yes.
sometimes people envy you, want to be like you,
yes.
try to paint the bad side of you and ignore all the good things you've done.
That's right.
But they are not even able to do the little good things you've done.
That's right.
So why did you feel you needed to then do internship? You had done 1 week training.
Okay, so I think I got home and I'm a numbers person. I like projection.
Mm.
So I got home and I was like, okay, if I can get this value in 1 week,
yeah,
is this enough for me to relaunch? Yeah, so I felt it wasn't enough, you know. So I told my wife, I said, "Babe, I think I need to go for more, you know." And by that time, my wife was pregnant.
Yes.
Yeah. So
your first baby.
Yeah, for my first baby, and you know, went back and you know, she's an amazing lady. She was just all in. And if you think there's a way, then just go.
Let's go.
You know. So came back to the office. Then one of the people said they're not paying. No, I said, no problem. I'm not here for payment, you know, but I knew I was going to get more.
Wow.
You know, and that was it for me. So even during the internship, it was copy and paste. Anything you say, anything anybody says, in as much as it's on the company's bill, wow. I was willing to do it, you know. Back then, there was a script we were running then to send 50,000 bulk SMS,
yes.
you know. I'll just do it. See, as much as for, maybe you say we should do it, you know. And I think I did it for about 2 weeks before I got a sale, or 3 weeks before I got a sale. But I was consistent at it because for me, it was a platform to test run, to gather my action plan, mm-hmm. my activities.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't willing, I was ready to go all in. There was, you know, back then when you were, you know, you now started Sheraton event.
Yes.
Some people will come, some people don't, we're not coming.
Yes.
Me, I was at every event because I just knew that it was a time to take in.
Yeah.
You know, and that was it for me.
You were one of my most hungry mentees. you were hungry.
Yeah.
My wife was so hungry that I didn't know this until, I think, many years later.
That's right.
You told me you used to trek most of the days.
That's right.
You know, can you describe that
like,
place where you...
Like Fagba to
Ogba,
Okira.
That's
like trekking from Ikeja to Yanokpaja. Ikeja to Yanokpaja.
That distance.
You know.
And so you would take some corner so that we won't know. Because you worked for 6 months. I didn't know you were trekking to work.
Yeah, because one of the things I try not to do is to let people know when I'm paying the price.
Mm.
Because when you let people know when you are paying the price, they might end up talking you out.
Mm.
They will talk you out. And they are right with your view, the positive, you know, but they're just trying to contribute to your, how can't you find other things, you know? And I remember, I think we were about six that started the internship and it was just two or three people that graduated. We're like eight to ten that joined, but it was me, this lady, then Bukola. Were three that graduated, you know, that stayed.
Were you Bukola set?
No, Bukola joined.
Okay,
while I was there. But in my own batch, I don't think, maybe we're one or two. Well, I think I was the only one or two persons that I ended up. Everybody was just dropping a month after, 2 months after. Some people will try 3 months after. Because, you see, I think people must understand the difference between where they are and what is required to take them to where they are going. Yeah, yes. There's a requirement.
Yeah.
And that requirement a lot of time is you leaving everything and sticking to. So before you start, count your cost. Even the holy book says that, yes. You know, count your cost. So I was sure of my cost, but I wasn't sure of the turbulence. I wasn't sure how it will go. So for me, there were reasons to say, hey, guy, I'm not the one that killed Jesus. but I just knew that if I can finish this, there'll be clarity.
Wow.
I knew that if I can finish this, because I know I'm a good product creator. I know I'm a good trainer. I know I'm a good speaker. But all of this is under the shelf. Who will take it outside?
Yeah.
That's where the sales comes in.
Yeah.
Something need to take it off the shelf.
Yes.
To people.
Come on.
You know, and that's the missing link that I didn't have. And it's like the 80% of my 20%.
Yeah.
So it was no brainer for me. Yeah. And one of the things I learned during those period was that encouraged me was that there was progress.
True.
You know, you say you want to be somewhere for 6 months, but your first 1 month, you see progress. Second month, you see progress. So, you know, I'll get back home and my wife will like, how did it go today? Went well, have you eaten? You know, sometimes I don't even eat. You know, I don't eat because there's nothing to. But I was just sure of, if God can just see me through, wow. I can. So I was still telling my team in the office, you know, by the grace of God, we have about 15, 17 people in the office right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was telling them, I said, you must just be hungry enough to take it to where you're going. Yeah. And that's it for me. That's it. For
powerful.
Me. Mm.
And so after the 6 months,
yeah.
I never forget it, you graduated,
yeah.
And then you started your company from your living room.
Yeah.
No office,
because it's one of part of my life a lot of people don't know is the spiritual part. And I think I was meditating someday and God told Maiwa, stop disturbing me. If you can think enough, what you have is enough.
Wow. If you can think enough, what you have is enough.
So at that point,
that's good.
I said, okay, so instead of waiting for money to start, to go look for an office, so every day I just resume in my sitting room, dress up as an office person. I was using a white table. I didn't have enough resource to buy office chair. So it was white table, white chair, you know. Started a month after, I got a new first staff, Eben.
Yeah.
Eben will leave his house to come to my house, yeah. And he's going to the office. Yeah. Then 2 months after, I got another lady,
wow.
Then another intern.
Wow.
You know, so I had three people. In 3 months, we were able to gather money to go pay for a space. Then
you guys will not believe where the space is. Then, you want to turn there, I should turn there.
Then the space now was like in your office. So Dr. Steven has now moved from where he used to be to a bigger place. Then, by the way, people to also understand that on your journey, one of the things God will bless you with is people.
Yeah.
People. Yeah. Because one of the internship, during my internship session with you, I met a trainer who is Jennifer Seidu, Dr.
Yes,
Jennifer Seidu.
Yes,
now,
yes.
She was the one that gave me the cubicle space,
yes,
in our own office to start, yes, with. So that's where
Which was the same office complex. We were at the last floor, third floor.
She was on the first floor.
She was on the fourth floor.
First floor, yeah.
And then you started there.
Yeah,
and
started.
So both of us now became competitors.
In the same business.
Because we were doing the same business I was doing.
Yeah. And, you know, I had a counsel from my pastor. Okay. I went to see him and I said, sir, I've started, but there's no place. So a lot of the spaces I was getting were telling me to pay a year, 2 years, the usual. But the only option I have is a sister friend who is giving me a part of our office and is under my mentor's office. Like, I said, hey, okay, so tell me, who is this your person? So I profiled you. I said, hey, okay, so go meet him now. Go meet him. Go tell him first. You know, but from what you have said, I think he should allow you. Mm-hmm. So with that faith, I just came to meet Dr. Dad. Okay, we have been able to do something and I have a small space under your roof, just first floor. And doctor was like, okay, why not if not? You didn't know how powerful that was until I left your front. Like, when I left, I was like, geez. You know, and the rest is history, right?
Yeah, now. I mean, it wasn't a big deal for me.
Yeah.
I remember then when I had clients who could afford me, I said, go and talk to my wife.
That's right.
He will be able to collect the small money you want to collect.
Yes, and I had a lot of people. Yeah. I had few people that came from that, And I think it's amazing. Coupled with the fact that you're not just somebody who was teaching people, you're somebody who has a kind heart. You know, it's two different things. You can be a trainer and you can be strict, or you have some things you don't really want to do. So you're somebody, apart from being a trainer, you're somebody who is selfless. So the selfless acts of you is what a lot of us were able to take good advantage of that. Malga can always support me. And that has helped, like on my birthday, I now saw a lot of reason how that support model has been.
Mm.
You know, people that have left me 10 years, 8 years ago.
Oh, your 40th.
My 40th now came back. Wow. And the rest. So I think it works. Mm. It works. And you've done well of that.
Yeah,
thank you.
And you're welcome. And you have also done that. I've seen people worked under you and how you treated them. And that's the powerful thing about if your boss treats you well, you will pass it on because you didn't know any other way.
That's right.
You know, you pass it on. I know how you really helped Eben. Eben was one of those who worked with you and how you really helped him.
Mm.
Mm. I mean, this apprenticeship model, how important is it? Because you Gen Z, it may be easy for you because you're a millennial.
Yeah.
But Gen Z's are like, oh, my, I don't need to work for anybody. They are using me.
Okay, so let's start from what makes a Gen Z.
Mm.
They're exposed to technologies, tools that they can leverage on compared to our own.
Absolutely.
However, apprenticeship is so important that it determines how quick and how fast you can get to your destination.
Mm.
You see, there is nothing new under heaven, Solomon says. And for me, it means that for everywhere you want to get to, somebody is already there before.
Yes, sir.
And all you need to do is to look for that person, study, learn from that person.
Yep.
And go and replicate.
Come on.
And that's the entire model of apprenticeship. But in this season, in these Gen Zs, because they can leverage on tools that can give them exposure, not knowing that exposure does not equate business building.
Come on.
Exposure does not equate business building. And that's why a lot of them have a lot of followers, but they still don't have money. They have a lot of followers, they still don't have assets. They have a lot of followers, they don't have people. What apprenticeship does is that your boss will connect you. There are about 8 things you're going to be leveraging on. One of them, when you go through apprenticeship, is knowledge. One of them is people. One of them is exposure. So all of that is... I never entered Sheraton until I did my internship with you.
Wow.
So it means that before my internship, I will probably be passing those places.
Mm-hmm.
As a banker, I've entered some hotels, but I look Sheraton. I don't have business in Sheraton.
Yeah.
But my internship exposed me that there's something about Sheraton. Mm-hmm. So that's what apprenticeship does. There are a lot of people that know me today because they did business with you.
Yeah. Sure.
So, and that's what apprenticeship does. Yeah. And now building a conglomerate myself is so real because I can see that you have done it.
True.
So for me, it's everything. And if we also check everyone that has become it, they have that in common.
Yeah.
So we talk about Bill Gates. You know, Bill Gates Senior took him to Warren Buffett and said, study from him. So we must just understand how this works. So Bible days, a Paul and Ananias, you know, I was telling somebody, I said, if people read and love what Paul has written, can you imagine what would have been said of Ananias if Ananias also wrote books?
Yeah.
Because Paul said a lot, but Ananias taught him everything. So can we talk about what Ananias taught him, which is not exposed?
Mm.
So for me, apprenticeship is key. And for anyone who is outside there, who is starting, who is just starting, you just have to look for somebody who is where you want to be and pay the price to get it. One of my apprenticeship left December. He's an Igbo guy. He came all the way from Enugu. I went to speak somewhere 6 years ago.
Mm.
The first time he gave me sweet. The second time he gave me biscuit. He wrapped it in the note. I didn't answer him. He said, fantastic. Push on more. But it was consistent. By the time I saw his message on Facebook, he has messaged me over and over and over again. Wow. Then like, I think 6 months after or 8 months after, I invited him to come over. And we got talking. From no house, nobody in Lagos, he ended up staying with me, living in my house for 3 years plus.
Wow.
He left my house as a millionaire.
Wow.
Who never had anywhere to stay in Lagos.
That was giving you sweet.
That gave me sweet and wrapped it in his in a note for me to read. And I knew that that sweet was, would have even been expensive for him. Because he told me later on that the Oriental event, he came because of me. Yeah. And he trekked.
Oh.
I don't know where he's coming from. But he said he checked. And he left my house owning some assets worth over six million.
Wow.
And that's it. So apprenticeship is key.
It is.
Like, is key. It has worked for me. It has worked for a lot of people. And I feel it's the shortcut to the top.
Yes. It's a shortcut to success. Apprenticeship is a shortcut to success. Mm. But how do you deal with the place of humility?
Mm.
Because in the course of being an apprentice to someone, people will whisper to your ears.
Yeah.
I will never forget a story someone shared with me, how he was like working for this white guy and, you know, carrying his bag.
Mm-hmm.
And all his friends were like, can you imagine?
Mm.
He's doing boy for a white guy.
Yeah.
And he said one day, they've been saying it behind his back. And these were his friends. One of them was insinuating close to where he was.
Mm-hmm.
He said he had to look at the guy and say, look, I'm carrying this guy bag.
Yeah.
And we travel to Dubai.
Yeah.
We travel to London.
Yeah.
Sometimes we even enter private jets.
Uh-huh.
You that you are not carrying anybody's bag.
Yes.
Where have you gotten to? I mean, where have you gone?
That's right. You've never been anywhere.
You've never been anywhere.
You see, to add up to what you just said, sir, one of the major challenges with success is that people compare themselves.
Mm.
And because of that, there's no enough confidence to stay on your lane.
Wow.
So while you're on your way to say, okay, I'm studying this person so that I can become successful.
Yes.
Others who are on different lane are contributing negatively to your journey.
Wow.
And if you're not disciplined, determined, you will fall off.
Wow.
And people must know that we are seeds.
Yeah.
So if we study the seed model of growth,
yes,
it means that you are either on the mountain,
mm-hmm,
on the road,
yes,
or you're on the right soil.
So if
you're
on
the thorn, yeah. So if you're on the road,
yes,
you're in your trouble.
Yes.
Somebody can drag you off.
Yes.
But if you are in the right place,
yes,
right soil,
yes,
I beg, stay there.
Yes.
If not, you know, you might end up, they might use words to drag you off and pull you off. So, but for me, I think the humility and humiliating and all of that, it is part of what makes the story better.
Yeah.
Because there's no glory without the humiliation. Yeah. It's not, yeah, it has to be there.
Yeah.
It makes the journey
sweet.
Sweet. I mean, because your stories are expensive. Yeah? A guy said, I dropped out of school 6 times.
Yeah.
So that people can buy my book.
Come on.
So he said he read the story of all the likes dropping out of school. He said, okay, for me, I have to create my story so that it can be sellable. Stories are expensive.
Wow.
So imagine dropping out of school just to put it in your story. That now that I'm successful, I used to be.
I dropped out of school.
Yeah. You know. So,
and what makes the story sweet are the challenges you've encountered.
That's right, sir.
Are the so-called being used. Like my friend would say, if you are not used, you won't be useful.
That's right.
Right?
That's so right.
Be willing to be used.
Be willing.
Yes.
Is required.
Yeah.
Because the beauty of gold is the fire process that the gold has gone through.
Absolutely.
So why they are using you, they are sharpening you.
Come on.
Yes, they are sharpening you. My mom used to work for, before she started the canteen, this thing, where she gained that mastery from was her elder sister, who was also into food canteen in Kano.
Mm.
And she served there for about 6 years.
True.
And before my mom was going to leave to start her own canteen, my mom has built almost 4 acres in assets.
Wow.
While she was being used. But while she was being used, she was molding what the woman was doing. So when the woman was to duplicate her canteen, there was no other person she could trust to work for her in that other branch.
Wow.
And that's how my mom raised cash. And she's an asset-driven person. And so, when they are using you, they are making you, they are sharpening you, they are reshaping you, they are sending you to places where you naturally not get to.
Yes.
They are correcting you, chastising you. All those things are the things that, you know, put the right shape on you.
Yes.
Then when people now see the end shape, they now say, wow, it's like filing gold. You know, filing gold to the right shape.
True.
The end shape is always interesting.
Yeah.
But you must consider how, you know, the stress is, the correction, the humiliation, the frustration.
Yeah.
Can't you think, you know, the person is older than you. The person is your boy. Can't you see that you're even older than the person? Can't you think you're serving? But at the end, guys, what I feel is that, you know, if you're strong enough, you can face it. And at the end, it's part of the story.
Absolutely. What will you say to people who are in a position to mentor people but don't want to? Like, look, I've helped people. They took it for granted.
Yeah.
They will also become my competition.
Yeah.
It will also affect me down the line because it's like I'm creating competition for myself.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic question, Doctor. We have various people at that space. And what powers their decisions or the way they enter, what led them to conclude has so many reasons.
Yeah.
However, there is a model I was able to create about 2 years ago.
Okay.
It's called the reward system.
Okay.
The reward system has about 5 components.
Okay.
One of the components is called the contribution component.
Okay.
Now, the contribution component says that no matter what they have done to you, what comes out of you is your own contribution.
Wow.
So if people talk you down, if people does this, if somebody have done anything to you, what they've done to you is their own contribution.
Mm.
But what you will do
is your own contribution. Yeah.
Now, when you now contribute, you're contributing to the universe.
Wow.
And the universe do not reward you based on what people do to you.
Hey. Hey. Oh, no, this is good. This is good.
Yes, the universe does not reward you based on what they do to you. The universe reward you based on what you do
to others,
which is your contribution.
Yes.
So if anybody is not willing to mentor based on so many conditions, so many heartbreaks, so many, it's normal. But it is about what comes out of you. And that what comes out of you is now the reward, that the universe reward. And the universe reward per time. Every single time, universe reward.
True.
The reward of them selling Joseph was to keep struggling. The reward of Joseph not paying them what they did to him was the reward of growth for him. Getting into the palace.
Yeah. This is good.
So for Joseph, they harmed him. Like, geez, this guy, for my brothers, how did they do this to me? I will not forgive them.
Yeah.
I will not this. I will not that.
Yeah.
He would have held that back.
Yes.
And every time he had an opportunity to contribute to others,
yes,
he would say, I went to serve my brothers.
Yes.
They harmed me and they sold me.
Yes.
So I will not serve you. I will not contribute to you.
I will not be loyal to Potiphar.
I will not give you anything.
Yes.
Yeah. But when each time it was to contribute,
yes,
he did not consider what people have done.
Wow.
He gave his own clean.
Yes.
And that's exactly how it is. So everyone who is a business person,
yes,
everyone who is in a position to mentor and teach and train must consider that they are to contribute their quarter to the universe, and the universe has a way of rewarding according to their contribution.
Wow.
Not according to what people have done.
Wow, this is good. This is so good. Right? Yeah. That's my guy. I trained him well. Yeah. You know, it gets exciting when people you train can then be talking and you are taking notes and you're really genuinely learning from what they are saying.
Yes,
and it just gives you such a humbling feel.
Mm, 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 mm.
You are now into real estate. You've joined my world.
Yeah.
Okay. How's it going for you?
Amazing for me. So I think for me is the fact that I remember the statement, one of the trainings you had, and I just surprised you with a visit and you're like, I've been waiting for you to join real estate. You know. So real estate for me.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I started in 2015, one of the things I started doing was to train.
And that's when you started your company after you left us.
Yeah. So in 2017, I got a partnership stuff with a US-based company.
Yes.
And by COVID,
yeah,
I was talking to one of my mentors, who is Pastor Adeoye, and I was talking to him. And I gave him a report of what I made the previous month. And the previous month, I think I did about $12,000 as at then.
Okay.
So then I mistakenly click on the total earning.
Yeah.
Then I saw that $380,000 have been paid in 3 years.
Wow.
Then I said, hey, where is this money? So he was like, okay, congratulations. But me, I was like, oh, sir, this money didn't come to me. So that got me thinking. So when I left that place, that sent me to what is called personal development.
Yeah.
Personal finance.
Mm.
And every businessman needs to go study that.
Yes.
Personal finance now exposed me to there should actually be a structure.
Yes.
That my money should be going through.
Yes.
When I make money,
yes,
even as a business person.
True.
So after COVID, I now restructured my model.
Yes.
Then more than 50% to 80% of my profit
goes to
assets.
Assets, yeah.
So I now realized I was already buying 15 acres, 20 acres. And I said, okay, wait. We will now buy and you'll just be waiting.
Mm.
You know, so 2023, the chairman of our board now said he has approved that we now going to. So we opened our subsidiary 2 years ago in real estate. But for me, coming into real estate was the fact that I saw that it is common to everyone to make money and not have assets. And what you make is not the same thing with what you are worth.
Mm.
I
love this.
There is a challenge. There is a battle.
Yeah.
There is a conflict.
Yeah.
So you see people. You see people say, I make 2 million naira monthly.
Yes.
I make 3 million naira monthly.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, the real money they make is what is left after all expenses.
Very true.
So, and that should be going into an asset that can take care of them
after
a long period of time. So you see people say, I worked in the bank for 17 years and their entire worth is still less than 10 million in investment.
Nah.
So how will they cope at 50, at 55?
Yeah.
So when I saw that, and I told myself, before I'm 40, I want to have assets in billions.
Wow.
And I was able to do that by the grace of God. I have over some good one or two around B's.
One or two.
Around B's. So it's asset driven.
Oh.
So that's my journey into real estate. So for me, it's not really about the business part of real estate, but it's the mission to make sure that over 1,000 people build asset in that line and be deliberate. So it's been fun for me. It's been fun and I'm loving it. The fact that, you know, I had a horrible, you know, and you see, there are two ways to learn.
Yeah.
You learn from mistakes or you learn from your personal mistakes or from people's mistakes.
True.
Yeah. And I didn't want that to be common. I don't want that to be.
You had a horrible experience with real estate?
No, with the money I made.
Okay. Yeah, but you didn't.
Yeah.
So now, You're investing it better.
Yes, sir. Yes. So that's what I'm in real estate.
That's good. Yeah. I wish we can continue, but time is gone. Really. But I ask you this one more question. I know the last time you and I had a mentorship session, you know, I think I was hard on you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
I give you some targets. Like
no. That's,
you know,
that's the essence of mentorship.
How do people balance that? How do people learn to respect mentors who are tough on them for their own growth and not see it as see the pressure is putting on me or see the this and how do people navigate that part and be able to know that isn't personal in any way. This person isn't trying to bring you down in any way. The person is just challenging you.
Because
I think I even said, don't come for my session if you don't hit a target.
So,
and I'm impressed. Your sales has gone up.
Yes, sir. So here is the journey for me.
Yes.
I think I learned it from a man called Patrick Bear David.
Yes.
He said, when you hear words, try and understand the root word of that word.
Wow.
So I understand that the word mentorship.
Yes.
The word coaching.
Yes.
You must separate the personality of the person talking.
Yes.
From the experience
of
what the person is talking about.
Wow.
So each time I listen to anyone who is my coach or my mentor, I am not listening to them around their personality. I am listening to them around what I want to hear from them. So when the person is talking, because you see, there are three things that people need to understand when it comes to mentorship. The person can be older than you in age. The person can be older than you in knowledge. The person can be older than you in experience.
True.
Connections.
Yes.
So that is why you are submitting to that person.
Yeah.
So if the person is older than you in any of those places, is qualified to be your coach or your mentor.
Yeah.
Now, when that person is talking, you is talking based on that. And you have to be, you know. So for me, anytime I'm in a session with you or any of my coaches or mentors, that is what I'm listening to. I separate the personality and my personality. I take it in alignment with where I am going.
Sure.
So when you are there, I'm like the last session I had with you. In my office, I was standing for about another 15, 25 minutes. I was just walking around in my office.
After the session.
I was just walking around in my office. And my team came in each time and they saw me walking around. And each time I walk around, they know they don't disturb. It's like a comeback later thing. because I'm in my thinking mode, and I mean, you know, so people don't know the, you know, Pastor Adeboye said that the coaches of the last competition should also be rewarded.
Just as the players.
Just as the players.
And it's true. I agree with him, absolutely.
Because they've done so much to make sure the players deliver. So you now say that you are paying
the players
$100,000.
And then you reduce their own by 50%.
No, they made it happen.
Yes.
You know, they put in the tactics, they put in the strategy, they are re-strategizing at every time.
Yeah.
And they are able to deliver the leadership skill to make those people follow them.
Absolutely.
So they should pay. So for me, it's a lot of work when I see a coach talk to me, when I see a mentor talk to me, because the person is trying to help me to achieve the next, you see, and people must come into it. And another challenge I see outside there around mentorship is that when people hit a threshold, they are looking for the next, then they forget the previous.
Come on.
But no. In the order of growth, you maintain the order.
Yeah.
You don't throw away jawbone.
Yeah.
You don't throw away.
It's like climbing a ladder and you get to the top and say, I don't need the ladder. I'm already at the top.
Yeah.
You will come down with the ladder.
That's it.
If you throw the ladder away.
You don't.
Yeah.
You like, don't. You know,
brick on brick.
During my 40th documentary, each phase of my life, I mentioned everyone that has contributed to that phase.
Wow.
And in as much that I'm going to the next phase, I've passed the previous phase, I still need to honor, keep the relay. You don't close doors. You don't jam doors. Because the person is still the person.
What do you think of those who think, you know, my coaching fees is ridiculous? They think $18,000 in a year.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, for the record, I don't live in Nigeria. I only come to Nigeria regularly.
Yeah.
So from 2020 to 2023, I lived in Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
But I come... this is the first time I've come to Nigeria since April.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the thing is that when I'm around, I so maximize it. I'm doing so many things.
That's right.
I'm probably shooting like 8 podcasts in just these 10 days I'm spending.
Yeah.
So you'll be seeing a lot of content even after I've left Nigeria. You look as if I'm still in Nigeria.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of mentees who are not Nigerians. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of conferences that I do outside Nigeria. Mm-hmm. So when you boxed me, first of all, into the dollar thing, I should charge Naira.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's, even my students are Nigerians, and they are not limited by that. But beyond that, do you think it's ridiculous to feel that you're paying a Nigerian $20,000, $25,000 in a year?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you were to be less than a year,
mm-hmm.
do you think it's ridiculous?
Not at all. Not at all. You see, our African culture has boxed a lot of people. And that is why the thinking approach is also limited, because they do not factor in who the person has become to charge
them. That's true.
So when you've been paying for Harvard classes for the past 2 to 4 years, they don't expect you to charge Naira. Number two, you've been traveling, mentoring, teaching people around the world for the past 2 to 6 years, if I'm right now.
No, over 10 years.
Over 10 years now. So they can't expect you to charge at Naira rate.
Yes.
People must also know that you must live your life per face. You know, if you can't afford it, you look away. You don't drag the person. So far, you cannot afford it. You know, and you must understand that there are so many people that makes up people on social media.
Yeah.
So the lot of people that cannot afford it, a lot of us that understand what you have said there, and we are paying, is not a this thing for us. So for me, I just feel that anybody that cannot afford it should just look away. If you can't afford it. I remember my first when I paid for a neuromarketing training session, you know, for a particular coach, you know, the bill was $13,000. I converted. I said, "My yo, wow, what are you looking for? Is it not this knowledge? Can't you get it on YouTube?" You see, but I'm seeing somebody who has built $5 billion company.
Yes.
And does not have 200,000 followers on Instagram,
wow,
on Facebook, wow, but has built such
a big business.
Big business. I said, so where is it? I need to go enter into this month. So I had to pay to study,
yeah,
and I realized that it's the same thing. It's just that he's not a social media person. He's just using a funnel,
yes,
to deliver his work.
Wow.
And in his email list, he was sharing that he has close to over 1.something million email people on his list. And this is
probably have more than 10 million email.
Yes, and he doesn't have all the followers on social media. And that made me to understand that you have followers does not mean you have money. You know, right, followers does not equate money.
Social media is overrated.
It's overrated. Yeah. So, but you see, the bottom line is that price is cheap. It's cheap. But if you can't afford it, pay for the one you can afford.
It's true.
When I first started, it was YouTube.
Yes.
Yes. Later on, I still could afford.
Over 1,000, yeah, 2,000 video on YouTube for, yes, free. Go there.
Yes. Go there. Start there. You can't even finish doctor's videos, you know. You can't finish Dr. Akindale's video. And likewise, they were doing the audit of my YouTube channel and they realized that I've uploaded almost 600 videos.
Wow.
So you can't.
You're a beast now.
You know, but you can't. So if you can't afford the price,
yeah,
and you have, one of the things you've taught us is, let there be freemium.
Yes.
Let there be the premium.
Yes.
And let there be also be low ticket.
Yes.
So when people see your training of $100,
yeah,
$95, that's the mid. So if you can't afford the coaching,
mm-hmm,
go for the general.
Yeah, for premium.
Yeah, if you can't afford
for the low premium, ticket.
Go for
if
the low ticket.
Low ticket.
Yes, you have
go
your.
Go for the freemium.
Yes, go for the freemium. It's free. So people should just know where they are per time and stop comparing, you know, the amounts, you know. If you can't afford it, go and buy all doctor's book, you know. You know, a lot of them are still in 27,000, yeah, 50,000, 49,000. Buy those ones, you know, as you grow, then you are able to afford, you know, one-on-one session. And that's how the cycle of life is.
My, well, thank you for coming. I really wish we can continue, but we've been here already 1 hour. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a beautiful episode with one and only Mayowa Owolabi. Check him out on social media. He's a great guy and there's so much value you're going to learn from him. Great leader.
Thank you.
See you next time on this Leadership Podcast. Bye-bye.